Well, good afternoon again. If you didn't catch it earlier, my name is Pastor Keith, and I just want to thank the Granat family for doing that. That was beautiful. Let's give them... You know, there's this, like, extraordinary event that we all have experienced, but that I think for the most part, we often take for granted. And you know what else? It's an event that I guarantee that you don't even remember, not even a second of it. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's your own birth. One thing that all people everywhere have in common is that we were all born, right? In fact, the United Nations, they estimate that there are 4 births every single second. And that in the United States, there are more than 10,000 babies born every day. They also report that worldwide, there are 385,000 babies born each day. So with that many babies born every day, we tend to think of birth, well, as kind of ordinary, right? Overall, and for the most part. What I mean is with everyone being born and with birth being pretty common, we kind of lose sight of the miracle. The miracle, in fact, that every single individual birth really is. And how really, truly amazing every birth really is. I mean, when you think about it, birth is this, it's this miraculous event filled with awe, filled with wonder, with each person being a display of God's workmanship. And actually being a display of God himself, because we are told we are made what? In his image. So each of us is really this beautiful reminder of the beauty and the complexity of the human existence and of the power of our God. All this to say that birth, well, birth in and of itself, every single one of them is extraordinary. And that though we were all born, and though that we all experience birth, and we often take it a little bit for granted, it is anything but ordinary, period. But with that said today, what about Jesus's birth? I mean, that's primarily why we've gathered here today, right? To celebrate his birth, to celebrate Christmas. So was his birth extraordinary like all human births? Yes. But was it something even more? That's what I want to look at today. We're going to see that today. And before we get into the scriptures, I want to just admit something right out of the gate. I know that there are some of us here today who have heard, I don't know, a lot about Jesus's birth. And we understand its implications to a degree. So there's that group of us here. Well, I know there are others of us here who, you know, we may know a little bit about it, but not much really about Christ. And then I would certainly hope that there are also some here who know very little, like next to nothing about Christ. But for all of us today, here's my challenge, okay? For all of us, let's all listen with fresh ears. Let's all listen with fresh ears to see if we can identify if Jesus's birth goes well beyond extraordinary, well beyond any other birth or not. And if it does, then how? And then why? So in a second, we're going to be reading and we're going to be examining Jesus's birth as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, where we begin to see there was something amazing happening. So you can get there now in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. And as you do, I just want to open with a word of prayer for those fresh ears that I talked about, those fresh eyes for this story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity to be together. Thanking you, Lord, for this Advent season, this Christmas Eve, Lord, the birth of your Son that we celebrate. And Lord, we just come before you right now, and I'm just asking for myself and for everybody in this space that we would have fresh ears and fresh eyes, that we would allow ourselves to hear things and see things through your lens, through what you want to show us tonight. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4, says this. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. So let's stop right there. And first, what we see, okay, is that Jesus' birth story, it is very unique. I mean, it wasn't in a typical setting like many other Jewish babies would have experienced. But to be honest, every birth story is unique in its own way. I mean, many of us have an interesting birth story surrounding our own births, or maybe surrounding the birth of someone that we know. Now, I've never heard anything specifically unique about my birth. I was born here in Springville, up at the hospital, which doesn't really happen anymore, which makes it a little bit unique, I guess. But for my wife, she was born quite prematurely, and she had to stay in the hospital for a long, long time. And then with each of our kids, their births were unique in their own way from one another, with one coming after like over 24 hours of hard labor, and the other one was a scheduled C-section and went kind of simple as pie. But bottom line, church, we can just recognize that many individuals have unique and/or fascinating birth stories of their own. So Jesus's birth, and that he was born in a barn pretty much, and placed in a feeding trough, a manger, well, while that is unique, that really isn't the part of his birth story that makes it go beyond extraordinary. It just really isn't. It's unique, yes, but not anything extraordinary. But we really begin to see the makings of all of this in the next section of his birth story. So as I read, see if you can tell where it starts to get like a little bit extra, okay? Verses 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now this, to me, what we just read, it's starting to get a little bit more unusual, okay? Now, in the Bethlehem of Jesus' day, it was quite normal, it was quite ordinary for shepherds to be tending their flocks. I mean, shepherding was a common occupation in that region, and these individuals, they played a vital role in that agricultural community. In other words, they were normal. But what was not at all normal was the angel that we just saw that appeared. The angel that appeared along with the glory of the Lord. This is really the first sign that there is something very special going on with Jesus' birth. I mean, when I was born or when my kids were born, no one told me that they saw and were visited by angels. That just didn't happen. And or that they saw these bright lights. So we can start to see here that the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary. So let's now hear how the story continued. In verse 10 and 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, not only do they see an angel in all of its glory, but the angel also what? Speaks, right? So what initially appeared to be a very normal event, the birth of an infant, it was far from ordinary. And let me just say that if an angel speaks, listen. If an angel speaks, listen. So to practice that together tonight, let's listen to what the angel spoke. Well, the angel said that what they are sharing is what? Good news, right? We heard that. That they are sharing good news. And good news that will bring what, church? Great joy. And for who? All. Did you catch that? All the people. In saying all of this, the angel is emphasizing the ground shaking, the life altering, the history impacting significance of this birth, of Christ's birth. The makings of a birth that is extra, extra, and even extra to infinity ordinary. Your birth or mine, it likely brought great joy to some people, but the angel says that the one we celebrate today and every year at this time brought and still brings great joy to who? To all people. All people. Now, with all that said, I just want to quickly and briefly, I want to work backwards, okay, through what we've just read, verses 10 to 12. And I want to do that all to lead us to what I believe is the pinnacle of importance in this passage. And what is the pinnacle of importance regarding Christ's birth and this season that we're in? You see, in verse 12, the angel describes a sign, right? A sign that will help the shepherds to know who and what that they are looking for. For the angel says that they will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, which that all highlights the humble circumstances of this Jesus' birth, contrasting that with the grandeur typically expected of a king. And this birth in a manger, it signifies that the Savior comes not in opulence, but in what? In simplicity, making the message accessible even to the lowly shepherds. And this announcement, it also marks the pivotal moment in history. The pivotal moment in history. This pivotal moment bringing what? Bringing hope and joy to who again? All people. To all who hear it. The rich, the poor, the weak, the strong, those who feel unworthy, and those who do feel worthy. All people. This story, this birth, is to bring joy to all people who hear about it. Just like you, all of you who are hearing it today. Church, Jesus' birth is no ordinary birth. It's not even an extraordinary birth, but it is an extra, extra, extra to infinity and back birth. It's beyond ordinary. And then just prior to verse 12 and verse 11, the angel says that this baby that they find is the what? Did you notice? The Messiah. That's what the angel said. Now, what's a Messiah, right? Well, in Judaism, the religion of the people then, the people of our Old Testament, the Messiah was the expected king in the line of David who would deliver Israel from the bondage of the Roman Empire and restore the glories of its golden age. So they were expecting a militant power to free them. However, Jesus was coming for much, much more. Much, much more than that, which we'll get to in a second, which leads us right now to the most important word of this entire passage. Do you know what it is? Savior. Savior. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus is the Savior of the world. That is the most important word in this passage. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior that the world had been and has been waiting for. And what exactly is a Savior? And why do these shepherds, why do they need one? Well, a Savior is a person who saves someone or something from danger, right? Or from ruin or from defeat. Synonyms for Savior are words like redeemer and rescuer and deliverer, right? And guardian and defender. So what were the shepherds And the people then, what were they in need of rescue from? What did they need a savior for? Well, at that time, many thought that they just needed rescue from the oppression of that Roman Empire. But we actually see the full reason of why the Savior was needed both then and now over in Matthew's account of this same birth story where the angel tells Joseph this. Matthew 1, verse 21 to 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from what, church? From their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the shepherds needed saving. The shepherds needed saving from sin and from its consequences, including death and separation from God for all of eternity. As the book of Romans is just one example from our Bible, clearly communicates as the impact of sin. And the Bible and experience show that there was nothing. There was nothing that these shepherds or anyone could or can do to save themselves. Nothing that anyone can do to save themselves from the sin that separates them from God. Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the Savior. And he still is today. He still is. And it began with his birth. And his birth and these surrounding circumstances, they communicate once again that the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary. For the shepherds were being told very plainly, okay, that the one who will make all things right has been born. And that the one who will set the oppressed free has come to earth. And that the deliverer is here. Our rescuer has finally come. The king has been born. This one that will offer to save Israel and all. The king is here. In summary, they were being told that the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary because it was good news of great joy for all people. Everyone. Everyone, even lowly shepherds, even a young couple who are having a child, their first child in the most lowly of circumstances, and even for you, and even for me. This good news of great joy is still for us today because Jesus, the Savior, wasn't just needed by the shepherds, and he wasn't just needed by the Israelites, but by you and by me and by all. We all need him. We all need him as well today. And why? Well, because sin is still present, last time I checked. We haven't found another cure for that one. And there is still nothing that we, you, or I, or anyone can do or could do to free ourselves from the grasp and the sin grasp that has on us. So the same good news that the shepherds, you know, that was shared with them, it's still good news for you and I today. It's just as important today. Some 2,000 plus years later, it's just as important today. It's just as powerful. It's just as extra, extra, extraordinary then as it was and is today. And in fact, a number of years following his birth, Jesus was interacting with a close friend after her brother's death. And as Jesus was comforting her, he spoke these words. John 11, 25 to 26. He said this, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection, said Jesus, and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked. That was his final words in that part. Do you believe this? a question he is still asking today, and a question for us. And this is why the birth of Jesus will bring great joy to all the people. For if they choose to receive him, if they choose to receive it, the forgiveness he brings, that is the good news. Because as a person believes in Jesus, their sins are forgiven. And as a person believes in Jesus, they no longer have to live with the burden of guilt and shame. And as a person believes in Jesus, they will live even after dying. And, by the way, have an incredible life of purpose here and now. So in closing, church, we have all been born. Birth happens every day, many of them. And some of them are really special to us. But guess what? Jesus' birth, it is the only birth that had and has and will continue to have eternal implications for all people. No ruler, no power, no authority in all of history, no one has competed with that level of importance, because no other birth would or could lead to the freedom from the bondage of sin and death. Only Christ could, and only Christ has, which is why I say again, the birth of Jesus, it's beyond extraordinary. And as we close, I just have to ask you, Jesus wants to ask you, personally, you, each and every one of you, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe in him? And if you do, have you received him? And if you have received him, praise God. Praise God and celebrate Christmas. Celebrate his coming ever so joyfully, tonight, tomorrow, and for the week ahead. If you don't, please explore him. Please explore faith in Jesus. Grab a Bible in the back. Get to reading a little bit each day. Grab a Why Jesus or a Why Christmas pamphlet in the back. Come back to church sometime in the future. We're here each Sunday, 10:30 a.m. We'd love to have you. And lastly, if you haven't believed this, but you're ready to right now, making this, I'm telling you, your best Christmas ever, just pray with me. Just pray with me. Respond to that question tonight. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this good news that is meant to bring great joy to all people, because it makes our account right with God. That's why you came. That's why we celebrate this season. That's why your birth happened. It initiated this whole plan that God had had from the beginning to reconcile his creation back to himself and to make all things right. So, Lord, for those of us who have received you, man, help us to celebrate this season so joyfully. Though stressful things may come, may we rest in the truth that we are a forgiven people and we have a bright future. And Lord, for those of us who might be sitting here today and they're really wrestling with that question, do you believe this? And if they're ready to say yes, that's really all it takes. That's how this all begins. It's just saying, I believe that Jesus came. He came to live a life only to die a death, rising and conquering sin and death for me, so that I can be forgiven in the eyes of my Heavenly Father, in the eyes of my Creator, because sin requires a sacrifice. And Jesus was it. He was it. Nothing else is coming. No one else is coming. So Lord, for anybody in this room that just wants to receive you, I pray from their heart to yours, they would just say, yes, God, I receive Jesus. I receive his forgiveness. And I pray that they would go forward having the best Christmas tomorrow ever. And for those of us still wrestling, Lord, would you help us to be open to it? It's like I prayed earlier that we would have open ears to listen and to see. Would you help anybody in that space to just continue to explore you? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And as they come up, I want us to look at verses 13 and 14 of Luke 2, that chapter we were in. And I want us to say it together, if you're willing to do that. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those his favor rests. As we move into this next portion of our service, our candlelight song, once everyone's candles are lit and the song begins, I want to encourage us all to join in. To join in loud voices as the angels did, and let's celebrate together the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of our Savior. Now, logistically, how this is going to work is I'm going to light my candle in a second from the center, from the Christ candle, and then people up front here, I'm going to ask you to just turn your candle to mine and light it, and then go up the aisle ends and just work down the aisles, light the person at the end, and help everybody, okay, to get lit so we can do this efficiently. And here's my hint. If you have the lit candle, don't tip that one. The person unlit, everybody listening? Bad night to have a fire. Unlit people tip toward the lit one. Deal? All right, I'm going to start. I'm going to light mine, and then I'm going to ask JP to help me work up the aisle. Then maybe Jess, would you help a little bit?